Monday, October 22nd, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. And yes, we are back after taking a week off from doing the podcast. Yes, last week we took a little time off. We played some best of shows from some previous years back in Daily Dose history. We had to take a little time. We needed to get away. We wanted to rest and relax just a little bit. But never fear, we are back this week with a brand new set of shows for you. We're going to be covering sports the way that you like it covered here at the Daily Dose. Now, last week, if I'm being totally, completely transparent with the listeners, I went down to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, laid on the beach, drank margaritas all week. What else do you want to hear? That's basically what I did all week. I'm being completely honest with you. You know, I left Denver on Saturday. It was in the maybe 30s, something like that, 30 degrees, snowing just a little. Arrived down in Mexico Saturday about noon. It was nearly 100 degrees. The beaches were beautiful down in Puerto Vallarta. The resort was beautiful. It was a good time to just get away for a little while, rest and relax down in Mexico. You know, it was a little funny though. When you travel to a place like that, and we stayed at a resort, stayed with, you know, my Daily Dose family, and you see certain people every day. You see them at the pool. You see them at the restaurants, maybe at the clubs at night or wherever. Just in passing, you kind of see the same people again and again because you're staying at the same resorts. And while we were down in Puerto Vallarta, we met some very, very nice people. Met some people from New Jersey. Very nice. Sports fans. Met people from Missouri. Met some people from Kentucky that were highly entertaining. Met some people from Texas. And of course, we met even a couple families from Mexico. Super nice people. Great to meet everyone while we were down there. But, you know, when I was younger and I would travel, I would go out of the state or I'd go out of the country or whatever. And when people would hear that I'm from Colorado, they would always say the exact same thing. Oh, you're from Colorado? Well, you must be a skier. You must love the snow. Well, I love the snow. Yes, I grew up with snow and I've been around snow my entire life, but I'm not a skier. That's not how I roll. I mean, if you've listened to the Dose for any amount of time at all, you know that the ski slopes, yeah, that's not my thing. That's not what I do. To be honest, I was always coaching basketball or playing basketball or doing something to do with basketball during those skiing months. So I wasn't around the ski slopes. Skiing is not in my blood. That is not my thing at all. I wasn't hitting the slopes. I was usually in the gym. But now we are in a different era in this country. We are in a different era, I guess, in Colorado, because when we travel now and, you know, go down to Mexico, meet people from all over the country, meet people maybe from down there, meet locals down there, we talk to people and we say the same thing. Oh, we're from Colorado. It's a completely different reaction nowadays, though. Do you know what the reaction is now?
Craig.
What's up?
Are you high?
Oh, you're from Colorado. You must have some marijuana. And once again, the answer is no. No, I don't. For one, you know, it isn't like Colorado is the only state in our union to have legalized pot. I realize we were early on, but we're not the only one that has. 9 states have legalized now. I mean, Alaska, California, Maine, Massachusetts, Nevada, Oregon, Vermont, Washington. Washington, D.C. has even legalized. Why am I getting singled out? Why are they pointing at me and saying, oh, you must be the weed guy. You're from Colorado. No, I'm not the weed guy. And I'm not the skiing guy. Yes, like I said, I realize being from Colorado, we were one of the first, so we get that label. But understand this. The only joints I'm rolling were my ankles out on the beach volleyball court. That was about it for me. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, I don't know, maybe let us know that you missed having new shows last week. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over to Facebook or Twitter. Find us over there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We do post a link to the podcast every day. We do throw up some random thoughts here or there over on Facebook or Twitter. So if you've got a question, if you've got a comment, maybe have some feedback for the show, maybe there is a certain story that you would like to cover, feel free to reach out in one of those places. We would love to hear from you. Hey, today on the show, we are, of course, going to be discussing what we learned from a wild weekend in sports. You know, from the NBA, which got rolling last week, to the NFL, to college football, to Major League Baseball, we saw a number of things that we learned over the weekend. There was a ton to watch this weekend. I hope you got to get away from work. Hope you got to enjoy some sports. Like I said, we took a week off, but we are now back, and there was a ton to learn by watching some of the sporting events that took place this weekend. Let's jump in right now on the NFL, because week 7, it was a wild week in the NFL. We saw a number of things. We saw unlikely comebacks. We saw some surprising winners. We saw some huge performances. And we even saw a few crazy finishes in the NFL. But is the NFL season now starting to maybe settle in a little bit? Getting to where we kind of thought it was going to be at the beginning of the year? Because it seems like at the beginning of the year, in the NFL especially, there's always a few upsets. There's always a few surprises. And we're like, oh, I didn't expect that team to be that good. I didn't expect that team to stumble like that. But here we are, and that's what's happening. Now by week 7, we're starting to kind of settle in and say, okay, now it's starting to make a little more sense. You are probably going to stumble, because that's what you've done all year. You might be better than we thought. But this past weekend in the NFL, we did learn a few things by watching the NFL. First off, I learned that the NFL player that is still kneeling prior to games for the national anthem might need to probably step back a little bit and let other players kind of take that role from him. On Sunday, before the Philadelphia Eagles hosted the Carolina Panthers, a game, meanwhile, that we kind of forget about, the Panthers come from down 17 to beat the Eagles in the final minutes, we saw a heated altercation take place before the game ever started. Now, when did it take place? Actually, at the coin toss. And who was it that was fighting prior to the coin toss? Well, it was Carolina Panthers safety Eric Reed, who was involved with Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins. Now, what in the world are these two fighting about prior to the game? I mean, Jenkins is a team captain, so we know why he was out there for the coin toss. Why in the world was Eric Reed even on the field? He's not a captain. He just got signed. Well, it seems that Eric Reed, who was, of course, if you forgot, the second kneeler after Colin Kaepernick, I mean, we think, I'm not sure how official any of that is, but it seems that Eric Reed ran onto the field during the coin toss, got into a heated exchange with Jenkins. Now, Jenkins was the co-founder of the Players Coalition. They had initially joined in the protest. They were taking a kneel as well, this coalition was. But Jenkins stopped kneeling last season after the National Football League announced they would donate $100 million to causes considered important by that coalition. So he said, okay, then we're going to stand. If you're going to pledge to give that much money, and we can actually see some progress being made here, if you're going to pledge that much money, then we're going to go ahead and stand. Well, Reed apparently has taken exception to Jenkins and the coalition. He was angry that the coalition never invited Kaepernick to any of their meetings, despite the fact that he wasn't a player. And he says that they are sellouts for actually standing up when they should still be kneeling, when there are still injustices out there to fight. So let me see if I have this straight, because I'm sure I have this mixed up somehow, but these two got into a fight prior to the game to support a peaceful protest. Now, does anyone else see the irony in this? If you would like proof that people have added their own narrative to this whole Colin Kaepernick kneeling thing, look no further than this, people. And these are two guys relatively close to the situation. But when I look at Eric Reed, and I get it, you're unhappy about the situation. You didn't want them to stand. You wanted to continue the kneeling. You wanted to continue to bring attention to your cause. I get it. You can't go out and start a fight before the game and say, I wanted to do a peaceful protest, and here's what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to punch you in the face. Really? That's what this is now turned into? I'm not sure anyone wants Eric Reed taking the torch from Kaepernick to champion this cause. Not after that on Sunday. That wasn't a good look. It's not a good look for the whole cause. It's not a good look for the whole movement. We don't need you getting into fights again. People have taken this Kaepernick thing. And maybe it's because he hasn't been real vocal about specifically what he wants or what he's looking for, but people have made their own narrative. They have taken it to wherever they would like it to go on their side, and it has turned into something that I don't know if it was meant to turn into. Not a great look on Sunday. Hey, we still have a ton to get to. Coming back, we've got to continue in the NFL. We've got college football. We've got Major League Baseball and even the NBA to talk about. Did you know that the Dallas Cowboys are trying not to make their team better? You might not have realized that. Or that another NFL coach is taking lessons from Indianapolis head coach Frank Reich. Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever. But we did learn that was the case this last weekend. So let's continue with what we learned from the weekend in sports, and let's stay in the NFL. Because we learned this weekend that when Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones told us all that his team has not had a number one wide receiver in years, and that they desperately need a number one wide receiver. Hey, he meant it. They do. They need a top flight wide receiver. No question about that. Dak Prescott doesn't have a ton of weapons to throw to. But when we hear Jerry Jones say that, and he says we need a number one wide receiver, yeah, it doesn't look like he's really trying to fix it that hard, despite the rumors that you might be hearing. Because it was announced over the weekend that the Cowboys were asking about the possibility of making a trade with the Oakland Raiders for wide receiver Amari Cooper. This is the move that Jerry thinks are going to fix things down in Dallas. Making a trade for a guy that is always injured, oh, and also not so good at catching the football. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to fix all of your passing woes. So it might sound like the Dallas Cowboys are trying to fix their offense. They're trying to give Dak Prescott some more weapons. But are they really going and getting a guy that's going to be hired to catch the football? Except for that he's not so good at, you know, catching the football. And by the way, on Sunday, the Cowboys managed to score just 17 points against Washington. They lose to Washington on a missed field goal. And Dak Prescott had just 175 yards passing. Well done, Jerry. You're doing your best to go out and fix some things. Hey, if he wants a big-time wide receiver, go get one. You had guys that were there. You could have went and got somebody. He didn't think it was that important at the time. But Dallas is finding out right now, yeah, they still need someone. And I don't think Amari Cooper is going to fix all that ails them. We did learn on Sunday that Tennessee Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, apparently, I didn't realize this, he's got a photo of Indianapolis Colts head coach Frank Reich above his bed. What? I know, who knew? Remember a few weeks ago, when the Colts were in overtime, they were sitting on their own 26-yard line. It was fourth down. They decided to go for it. Because, as Frank Reich said, we weren't going to settle for a tie. So instead, they settled for a loss. Well, on Sunday, the Tennessee Titans were facing Los Angeles Chargers in London. They score a touchdown with 30 seconds left in regulation. They are now down 20-19 with the extra point still to come. Hey, this game's headed to overtime, right? We'll see what happens in overtime, but this game is going to overtime. Well, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel wanted to show everyone that he had faith in his offense. So the Titans went for two, didn't get it, and lost the game instead of going to overtime. I mean, at least they didn't waste everyone's time. At least they didn't make the poor people in London have to stick around for another horrible overtime. These overtimes in the NFL, by the way, are painful to watch as we watch both teams try to not lose. Hey, at least London didn't have to do that. And then after the game, we heard all the critics and all the sports media guys saying, hey, he won his locker room today. He showed that he has faith in that offense. He said, hey, we're going to go win this thing. I've got faith in you guys. Let's go beat the Chargers right here, right now. Okay, I guess. But he lost the game. And he lost to an AFC team that could end up coming back to haunt the Tennessee Titans. But at least you got your team to go, hey, all right, guys, he believes in us. I know this sounds obvious in sports. And when I say this, you're going to go, well, yeah, no kidding. And yet it gets overlooked all the time. We kind of forget it. Sometimes winning a game is just not losing a game. Does that make sense at all? Like, in order to have a chance to win a game, you can't lose it before you ever get to that point. The Tennessee Titans lost this game unnecessarily. This Titans offense ranks near the bottom of every statistical category that there is. So if Mike Vrabel does have faith in them, then I have some questions about his intelligence. He may need an examination of some sort if he thinks, hey, our offense is rolling, we're doing really good things, let's just ride it out and see where it goes. Your offense is one of the worst in the league. Why would you have faith in them at all? Have faith in your defense. What if Tennessee just kicks the extra point and they kick off and the Chargers fumble the kick? Hey, we've seen the Chargers lose in stupid ways. What if Phillip Rivers throws an interception on the very next play? Hey, we've seen that happen before. I realize, and I think we're seeing this a lot more lately, I realize that head coaches are trying to win their locker room. They're especially trying to win praise from their players. And hey, he's really got our backs, guys. He's one of us. We really like this guy. And I wonder if that's a little bit of a millennial thing, because we know that these players need constant hugs. But at some point, you do have to be the head coach, and you have to make the most intelligent decision for your team. That is your job, not to try to get your players to like you. I know Vrabel did this and thought, hey, my guys are really going to have a lot of respect for me. And what if we actually get it? Who cares? You lost a game before you had a chance to win it. Never lose a game before you have a chance to win it. You might have won this thing. But he wanted his players to like him. Not a smart move by Mike Vrabel. Finally, in the NFL, we learned that win or lose, the Cleveland Browns are at least, I don't know, entertaining, I guess. No, they're not winning the Super Bowl. And no, they're probably not even going to make the playoffs. Remember prior to the season when we had a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon and flushing their money directly down the toilet? They were betting on the Browns to go to the playoffs. They were betting on the Browns to win the Super Bowl. Remember that? Yeah, how's that working out? But I will give Cleveland this. Every single game for them seems to go down to the wire. On Sunday, the Cleveland Browns, yes, lost another game, but it was another close game. They lost 26-23 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Buccaneers kicked a 59-yard field goal to win it in overtime. This was a game that both teams had every chance to go win. Just go take it. And both teams kept saying, no, 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 we don't want it, you take it. Oh, no, we don't want it, you take it. Oh, we couldn't dream of it, I insist, you take it. It just went back and forth that way all day. Cleveland could have won this game. They had numerous chances, but they don't know how to win quite yet, and that keeps costing them. On the season, the Cleveland Browns are now 2-4-1. Hey, they've only been blown out of one game when they lost to the Chargers, but they might lead the league in almost winning. That's not a good statistic to lead the league in, but that is right now the Browns' best thing. Well, they almost won on Sunday. I guess that's something. They almost won. Yeah, except for in the final rankings, you're still 2-4-1. And it's not going to get any easier, because the longer the season goes, the tighter players get and the more important these victories become. And pretty soon, you've racked up a lot of almost wins, and you're not going anywhere whatsoever. Hey, let's switch over to college football, because we learned a few things over there as well. And every week, it seems like the playoff picture gets just a little bit clearer, doesn't it? And by clearer, I mean completely muddy. I have no idea what's going to happen for the most part. First off, real quick, like I said, you know, we were out last week, down messing around, took a little time off. What in the world happened in college football while I was down in Mexico? I realize that's old news now, but last weekend, 6 top 15 teams got beat. And while it wasn't quite as much this weekend, we did still see a few upsets. Here are a few things that we learned this week in college football. First off, we learned on Saturday that all of the weird kind of energy and preseason nonsense that have been swirling around that Ohio State Buckeyes program this season, yeah, they finally caught up with him. You know, when we did our college football preview, that was back in August, we had Big Rob on the show, and we talked about Ohio State, and we said, hey, pound for pound, Ohio State is as talented as anyone, but they do have a funk kind of around them right now. Got all the issues with Urban Meyer. You know that situation with Meyer has to weigh on those players. They've got to talk about it and deal with it every single day. We said at some point they're going to end up stumbling. Well, on Saturday, the Buckeyes got pushed around for a full four quarters. And no, it wasn't by Michigan or by, say, Penn State or by, well, you know, an SEC team that usually does it. No, no, no. Ohio State got pounded by the Purdue Boilermakers.
What?
I mean, did Joe Tiller and Drew Brees return for like an alumni weekend? No, no, they didn't. But Purdue absolutely handled Urban Meyer and his Buckeyes. Purdue racked up 539 yards on Saturday night. They whip Ohio State 49-20. And the biggest culprit for Ohio State? Mostly their inability to stop big plays. And we've seen that already this season. On Saturday night, Ohio State allowed 13 plays of more than 15 yards. For the fifth time this season, Urban Meyer's defense allowed more than 24 points. Hey, Ohio State had played the toughest schedule in the country up to this point, and they still have some tough games coming. But after getting thumped by Purdue on Saturday, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Urban Meyer starts having that heart condition flare up real soon again. We all know how that goes. Season starts going bad. Urban starts holding his chest.
I'm dying. You hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
Was not a good weekend for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Staying in the Big Ten, we learned that the Michigan Wolverines are starting to look like they could be a true contender to win this conference. Michigan pounds Michigan State 21-7 on Saturday. They give head coach Jim Harbaugh his first win over the Spartans since he went back to Ann Arbor. Hey, Michigan's defense is no joke. They hold the Spartans to 94 yards on Saturday, and that game was played in East Lansing. No, no, no. Not 94 yards rushing. Not 94 yards passing. Not 94 yards in, say, the first half. The Michigan State Spartans had 94 more yards than I did in their game on Saturday. And Michigan's offense did enough. It wasn't great, but they did enough behind quarterback Shea Patterson. Hey, don't look now. The Michigan Wolverines have won 7 games in a row, and we're starting to see Jim Harbaugh get a little bit cocky again. You know, we just might have to talk a little more about this game tomorrow on the show, because we still have a lot to get through today. You know, we did also learn that no matter what the smaller conferences do in college football, if you're outside of the Big Five, yeah, you're not getting into the college football playoff barring some sort of, I don't know, major catastrophe or something. Because no matter what they do, those schools outside of the Big Five, they can't move up. I understand it. But if you're cheering for the little guy in college football, you might as well keep wishing, because it's not happening anytime soon. Last week, the defending pretend national champion, Central Florida Knights, who were number 10 in the country, blew out East Carolina 37-10. Now, I understand that's a terrible win. It's East Carolina. Who cares? But it is still a win. So, with all of the recent losses by top 10 teams in the country, how far did UCF move up? Yeah, they didn't. They're still sitting at number 10. In fact, in the coaches poll, they dropped a spot from 9 to 10 after winning a game by 27 points. Hey, until this playoff expands to 8 teams, these schools outside of the Big Five, they have literally zero shot of getting in. And I understand it. I swear I do. The scheduling thing is tough, because you look at someone like Central Florida, or you look at someone like South Florida, they don't play anybody. But to be fair, no one wants to play them either, so it's not entirely their fault. Here's a thought, and I'm just kind of spitballing here, going off the top of my head after getting back from Mexico, so honestly, this could just be the tequila talking, but what if we were to bring relegation to college football? Just think about this for a second. Rutgers, You're terrible. You're out. Central Florida is now taking your spot in the Big Ten this year.
Hey, that kind of gets interesting, doesn't it?
Hey, Kansas, I know you're good in basketball, but in football, see you later. South Florida is joining the Big 12 this year. Oregon State, every single year you're terrible in the Pac-12. Well, this year, you're dropping down to the Mountain West, and Boise State is going to take your spot in the Pac-12. Hey, it would at least be highly entertaining, wouldn't it? Relegation to college football. You know, I've always thought about this in pro football, maybe pro basketball, baseball, something like that. I hadn't considered it for college football. Again, this might just be the tequila talking, but this might be our greatest idea ever. Just throwing that out there. Hey, coming back, Las Vegas proves once again they know best. And one team in the NBA, they might have a few issues to work out if they're going to do anything this season.
On a day such as this, we pray the car won't let us down. But winter sneers, and the battery bails, the bulbs blow, the wipers wipe out. Can anyone save you? Yes, you. Come to Halfords. We'll check your wiper blades, batteries, bulbs, oil and windscreen. We'll even top up your screen wash, all completely free. And we're open late, 7 days a week. Find your local store now at halfords.com. Ready for the cold snap? Ready for anything. Halfords, for life's journeys.
Subject to availability. Opening times vary.
Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, and I hate to bring this up, I really do, but Christmas is coming quickly. I know you don't want to think about that, but it is coming quickly. You might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. November's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Laboratory. Some truths can only be found under a microscope. Countless experiments in the Loot Crate Laboratory have yielded a collection of cutting-edge gear that exists beyond mortality. Are you ready for the next step? Hey, November's Loot Crate theme features items from Bioshock, Westworld, and Better Call Saul. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate. You can choose from a huge selection of crates. You can pick a monthly subscription of crates that you can order or skip every single month if you like what they're offering. Or you can just go over to Loot Crate and pick individual items to order. And trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose each and every day. So let's continue with what we learned from the weekend in sports, and sometimes we doubt them. But does anyone get it right more than Las Vegas? And I'll answer my own question. No, they don't. We learned they did it again in Major League Baseball this season. Remember a few weeks ago? Not sure if you remember. We did our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings prior to the Major League Baseball playoffs. And who did Vegas say would be going to the World Series this year? Well, it wasn't the Milwaukee Brewers, who were looking so tough down the stretch. And it wasn't the Houston Astros, who looked so complete. It wasn't the New York Yankees, who just have that nasty lineup. No, first they said it was Boston, and then they said it was Los Angeles. And Vegas does it again, because in these playoffs, the Los Angeles Dodgers have gotten good pitching. They finally found their bats. The Red Sox offense have gotten enough pitching, and their offense is just way too much for anyone. And Vegas just picks the winner yet again. You know, I know that every day people go to Vegas and they think they can outsmart them. Hey, it doesn't happen very often. Oh, and by the way, Las Vegas says the Red Sox will beat the Dodgers in the World Series. That series gets started tomorrow night in Boston. Just throwing it out there. Vegas is saying Red Sox. Finally, we do have to touch on one story in the NBA, because we did learn that the Los Angeles Lakers might have made a bit of an error in their personnel planning. When the Lakers convinced LeBron James to join them as a free agent, they went out and they signed a few veterans to help him out. Hey, the Lakers have some talented guys. They've got Brandon Ingram. They've got Lonzo Ball. They've got Kyle Kuzma, but they are young and they're inexperienced and they need to develop and they need to learn the right way to do things, right? So the Lakers went out and they picked up veterans like JaVale McGee and Lance Stephenson and Rajon Rondo to help these young guys get up to speed. Well, on Saturday night, the Lakers faced the Houston Rockets
in their second game of the regular season, and we learn that the Lakers maybe didn't bring in the right veterans. Early, we saw Lance Stephenson start strutting down the floor after airballing a shot that he thought was going in. Okay, it's stupid, it's kind of idiotic, but that's not too costly. Maybe an example of what not to do, right? Wait, it's going to get worse. With 4 minutes and 13 seconds left in the game, the Rockets were leading 109-108. Brandon Ingram was called for what was a pretty obvious foul on Houston guard James Harden. Ingram gets mad at the call, shoves Harden, and then confronts the ref, which draws a technical foul. In the ensuing argument afterwards, Rockets guard Chris Paul sticks his finger into the face of Lakers guard Rajon Rondo, who responds by spitting in his face and then giving him a punch in the mouth. Ingram then joins in and throws a few punches too. So here is a perfect teaching moment for the veterans of Los Angeles. Hey, somebody walk over to Ingram, say, man, you can't get mad at this. You don't get mad for a bad call. We're still going to win this game. Calm down and go do your job. Don't get into this whole nonsense if the refs are out to get us or you're mad at James Harden or you're mad at the ref or whatever. We're still going to win this game. Instead, Rondo spits in CP3's face. A big fight ensues. And now the Los Angeles Lakers will be playing for 4 games without Ingram, who is suspended, and without Rajon Rondo, who is also suspended for just 3 games. And by the way, the Lakers went on to lose by 9 to Houston. Now, I know it's early, but the Lakers are now 0-2, and their next 4 games that they'll be playing, 3 of them without Rondo, 4 of them without Ingram, are San Antonio, okay, that's not so bad, Phoenix, again, talented, but not too bad, Denver, they might be a playoff team, and San Antonio again. Hey, those are 4 manageable games for the Lakers, so maybe they started the season 0-2, but they could be 4-2 very, very easily against those 4 teams. But now, without Ingram, without Rondo, I don't know if they win any of these games. None of these games are a gimme anymore. Probably not the best start for this LeBron era in Los Angeles. And when you look at the people they went and signed, probably not the best choices to go get these guys to serve as the veteran leadership of this team. That is not the way the Los Angeles Lakers should be starting off the season. On a suspension with your veterans doing dumb things and teaching your young players to do dumb things? Yeah, not a great start. Hey, we've got a very, very busy week for you here at the Daily Dose. You know, Mondays are always just so busy. Try to get everything in from the weekend. But tomorrow on the show, we're probably going to have to talk a little more football and discuss some winners and losers from the NFL and from college football. Plus, we do have the World Series getting going this week. We've got the NBA now rolling. We have got a lot of things to talk about on the Daily Dose. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, thank you so much. It is appreciated. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday.
Technology today has never been smarter, but smart only matters when you put it to good use. Let's put smart to work. Search IBM UK to find out more.